Why don't you go ahead and turn to Matthew 24. I am going to tell you that whatever comes out of me here going forward is all God. Matthew 24. God told me yesterday afternoon that he wanted me to talk about this. So, like I said, this is God. So here's Jesus. First verse. When Jesus went out and departed from the temple, his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus had just been in the temple debating with the Pharisees. He calls them, if you go back to chapter 24 and you back up to, you go to verse 29, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our father, you would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witness against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Brood of serpents, vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Here's loving Jesus. Loving, kind Jesus. Thank you.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Loving, kind Jesus, who's, you know, just, he's like a breath of fresh air, and he's just like a, you know, he's like the kindest doctor you've ever met. Just a nice guy. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Like, okay, if you go through and you read the Bible and some of the things that Jesus actually said, he wasn't very nice sometimes. He didn't seem to be very kind. It's like, wow, that's harsh. That's mean. Why would he say that? That's not very nice. Well, because he was speaking the truth. And just think about it. Jesus said that I only say what my Father says. Wow, doesn't that put things into a different perspective, doesn't it? Well, you know, God only ever says nice things to me. If God, anybody says anything mean to me, it's obviously not God. You know what? I've been rebuked by God before. Trust me. You want to stay on the good side. And he doesn't even have to, you know, trust me, he doesn't have to say much. It gets the point across. "Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill, crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues, persecute from city to city. That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of whomever, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all of these things will come upon this generation." Which generation is that? That generation. Not this generation, not generation to come. He's talking about that generation. That generation that was alive, that crucified him. He said, "All the blood of the righteous come upon you." Wow. I don't want to be in their shoes. But here, he's going forward. Next, okay, so we see the Jesus correcting things in the house. I mean, these were his servants. They're in the temple. They were there for temple worship. They were essentially under his authority as Jesus the Messiah, as Jesus the Son of God, as Jesus the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They essentially operated under his authority as the Son of God. And so he's correcting them as one having authority in his house. He's saying, "You're wrong." We go to the next verse. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the ones who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." see your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall say to me, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He said that as the Son of God, as the mouthpiece of God, as the representative of God, he's telling them, listen, I long to draw you in. I want to take care of you. He says, as a hen takes care of the chicks, you know, draw them in. I want to take care of you. I want you to be mine. I want to keep you safe, protect you. But you won't. But you won't. Then Jesus, so okay, this has just happened. Jesus showing the love and the compassion of God. You know, I've just rebuked you, but I just want you to know, here's my heart. I want you to repent. I want you to come under. I want you to be part of what I'm wanting to do. So, Jesus went out and departed from there to the from the temple. And they came to him. The Mount of Olives is, I think, one of the other verses. It says they went to the Mount of Olives. So here they are, they're sitting there looking at the temple. And Jesus says to them, because they were looking at the buildings, they were looking at the marvelous structure, they're looking at the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all of these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another. They shall not be thrown another, and they shall not be thrown down. They're all boom. There's no temple anymore. Why? Because Jesus' words were fulfilled, and we know from history that what happened is they lit a fire in the temple. Everything in the temple burned. The gold went into the between the bricks. So the Romans broke down every stone off of the temple to get all of the gold that had seeped in between the bricks. And the stones, there was no stone left. Because they wanted all that gold. And you know how people can be when they've got gold fever. I can guarantee you there was nothing left. And they probably dug down several feet as well just to make sure. And after they left, somebody else came along and checked. There was no stone that was left. It was absolutely fulfilled. You know, but here they are. They're looking at this massive structure. You know, huge, massive blocks of stone. And then all the beauty of the architecture. And they're looking, look at these buildings. They're amazing. And he's saying, not one stone will be left. Do you know how absurd that would sound? Do you know how absurd that would actually sound? You'd be like, okay, I don't know how that's going to happen. Could anybody have figured out, well, see, what's going to happen? Is the Romans going to come along? You know, because the Jews are going to rebel against Rome again in a number of years. They're going to choose to say, we don't listen to Caesar, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to have to come back in. They're going to besiege the city. They're going to come back in. They're going to kill a bunch of people. They're going to, I think they sacrificed pigs on the altar and other various things. And they burned the temple. And when they burn the temple, all that gold's going to go into the bricks. And then they're going to just, you know, you would get laughed at. Stand there looking at the temple and they'd laugh at you. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? When will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age? There's a lot of things going on now in the world. I don't know, maybe you haven't noticed. Maybe you haven't noticed that the world seems to have gotten a little crazy. What happens every time the world starts getting a little crazy, all of a sudden the end times prophets start showing up. Oh, it's the end. We're done. We're doomed. God's judgment. It's God's judgment. You know, if this is God's judgment, it's not very effective. I'm not really killing that many people. I'd expect a little bit more from God. I mean, if he's going to kill off some people, I expect some people to die. You know, I mean, if God's going to do it, God does a thorough job. Let me give you an example. David, King David. You know, he sinned against God. Took another man's wife. God found out. I don't know how he figured he was going to get that one by God. But, you know, I don't know. He said, I'm king. You know, God will be fine with it. But the prophet king rebuked him. Actually, let him assign his own judgment. Huh? That's God. Be careful when you're asked to judge. Because you may be judging yourself. You never know. But here he is. God comes to him and says, do you want to be... Oh, I didn't look this up, so I can't get this exactly correct. But there was three choices. One of them was to fall into the hands of the enemy. One of them was that God would punish him. And I forget what the third one is. Famine? Was it a famine? Okay, thank you. So and he says, I'm not falling into the hands of my enemy. He says, I'll fall into the hands of the living God. I will trust God in this. And he killed tens of thousands of people in Israel because of what David did. Well, that doesn't seem right. There is a responsibility when you're put into leadership because the people suffer for the decisions you make. He was the king over Israel. You know, and CNN, MSNBC have nothing on gossiping wives. They've got nothing on gossiping wives. You can guarantee you Israel knew what was going on. There were people in Israel that knew what was going on. Did you hear? I mean, he lives in a palace. Like, they're not going to know. Oh, yeah, I was at the palace today? You're not going to believe what happened. So, getting off topic a little bit here. Judgment of God, that's where I was. Judgment of God coming. I'd expect God to be a little bit more effective. Well, you know what? If you look at Revelations, he is. He is. When judgment comes, and it's by divine order, it's thorough. It's thorough. If this pandemic was from God, it would be deadly. It wouldn't be this, well, it might be deadly. It would be. And I'm going to parse words here for a second. God doesn't put sickness on people because he doesn't have that as a resource. But it's in the world and it's restrained. Why is it restrained? Because we have the authority to restrain it. But when that authority stops, when there's people are no longer restraining it, when people are no longer walking according to the Word, then God will give them over. In Romans, I think it's the first chapter, he says that he gave them over to a debased mind. It's first or second chapter. He says he gave them over to a debased mind, that they might burn for one another, that they would have all of these things happen to them. Well, there comes a point when nobody will listen to God anymore, and he has no choice but to give them over to their decisions. Okay, so Jesus, they're asking, God, when's the end going to come? Jesus, when's the end going to come? Tell us what it's going to be like. They asked three questions. They said, when's this going to happen with the building? What's the sign of your coming, and when is the end? If you read through the rest of the chapter, he goes through those things. But I want to, the next verse. And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. Church, take heed that no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, or I am Christ's. Some of them are smart enough to know not to claim themselves to be the Christ. They'll just claim to work for Him. And they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Wars, rumors of wars. You know, we've had all that. And we continue to have all of that. You know, World War II, World War I, Revolutionary War. All of these times, believers have, well, this is the end time, this is it. We're entering the tribulation where Jesus is going to be coming back. You know, at the turn of the last century, 1900, there were individuals who had gotten themselves into debt. They had gotten rid of a lot of their stuff. And at midnight on 1899, December 31st, they're out there, midnight, and they're sitting on their roof because Jesus is coming. This is nothing new. Saying, you know, we saw it all, and when it turned 2000, people, Jesus is coming, He's coming, coming. It's the seventh day, 7,000 years. Well, then we're going to go into the millennium. Don't be deceived. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This has got to come to pass. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, pestilence, earthquake in various places. Various places, different places, maybe even unique places. You know, they keep finding new faults. Well, they're always looking for faults, but I'm talking about, you know, the kind that are in the earth. But they keep finding these new faults. They just found one a couple of years ago in California, and they said that, you know, they actually realized, they said, you know what, we're not so much concerned about the San Andreas fault, but this one, we didn't even know this was here because it doesn't move very often. But when it does, it's massive. So they say that the San Andreas Fault isn't likely to create the 10.0 earthquake. Just the way it's designed, they don't expect it to ever create the big one. This other one they're saying, though, they're like, this thing has the potential to do it. It's been sitting there for years and years and not moving. You know, you start building up all that pressure. Eventually it gives. Something's got to give. But anyway, you know, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of the sad things. The beginning of those things that pull on your heart. The things that you say, oh my God. Anybody seen the pictures of what happened in Beirut? I saw that and I'm like, oh good God. I've seen some explosions. I was in the military. I did artillery. That's what I did. I made things go boom. I know how much power was in that thing. I've seen explosions. That was massive. That was terrifying. And the destruction that was left in its wake is just awesome. I mean, not awesome in a good. But that's it. Just I'm like, all those people. 300,000 people out of homes. Out of homes. I mean, it's just like, what can be done? How do you even begin to help something like that? I'm like, I have no idea how to do that. I'm like, thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for other ministries, Jesse DePlantis and other ministries like that, that know how and have resources to be able to help in those situations. Because I wouldn't know the first thing to do. But it's the beginning of sorrows. The next verse. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Oh, that's a happy thought. And you'll be hated. Oh, another happy thought. By all nations for my name's sake. conversation that Amy and I had this morning is, you know, the what's going on in California. You guys know John MacArthur, his church, and he's been making a stand and saying, no, you don't have the right to shut us down. You know, I listened to the statement that he had. I'm like, yes, brother, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, what he said, I mean, it might as well just have come out of my mouth because that was what's in my heart. It's like, we do what God's called us to do. Yeah, I know, I'm getting there.
Okay.
You just have to wait a minute. So the court has cited in his favor, said, yeah, you guys can meet, but you need to practice social distancing, wear masks. And so his response was, you know what? Okay, we can do this. We'll meet with masks. We'll, you know, get together. We'll social distance for a while. We'll play their game. We'll let them know, you know, hey, we're not out to create problems. We just believe that we have a right to meet. And then they're saying that the city is trying to overturn the ruling. And he's like, why? What's their agenda? What is their agenda? Hate. They're of their father, the devil. Ouch, harsh words. But the reality is they don't they don't even know why they're doing it a lot of times. They just hate it. Why go after the church? Why even care? But why? But here's the thing though. That's not what they're thinking. They just hate the church. That's the point. Everybody sees these conspiracy theories. There is a conspiracy. It's the devil. The people have no idea what they're doing. Oh, but look at it. You look at this and you look at this and you look at this. There's a secret organization controlling everything. Yeah, it's called Satan and his demons. There's not a human organization that's controlling all of this. It's just like us in the church. You can go to a church in China right now and you can get together and I'll bet you there's probably a minister speaking about the same things I'm talking about right now. Why? Because we're a family. You know, they're going to be preaching about Jesus. They're going to be talking about the love of God. They're going to be talking about end times. And they're going to be saying, don't be deceived, people. Don't let people con you out of it. What God's given you. Don't let worry. Don't be afraid. So, you know, it's just like we have an enemy. The nations will hate us. Why will they hate us? Well, what did we do wrong? Why don't they like us? We're nice, right? I mean, they just need to get to know us better. I know, let's look more like them. It's because we don't look like them. It's because we don't sound like them. We don't talk their lingo. So let's talk like they talk. Let's walk like they walk. Let's look like them. That way they'll like us and they'll want to be part of us. No, they'll still hate us. We might get a few here and there. But those people that really want to be saved are those that are looking for what the world can't offer. We need to be the different. It's okay to be hated by the world. Not fun, but it's okay. And we're hated because of His name's sake. Not your name's sake. Not because of what you do. You know, if we do something stupid and we suffer because of it, well then, yeah. But if we're suffering because of we're doing what Jesus asked us to do, you know what He said? He said, great is your reward. Great is your reward. Great is your reward. It's worth enduring the hardship for the rewards of heaven that are eternal and do not diminish, do not wear out, and they can never be taken away from you. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and to kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have this same passage. All of them. John didn't touch on it because I'm pretty sure that he thought that was well covered. You know, John wrote his after all the rest of these were out there. And I'm pretty sure that he wrote it to the church, and he wrote it to fill in some things so that people could better understand Jesus as a person and his character and who he is. But that's an aside. That's a bonus. In the other ones, it says that brother will betray brother, children their parents. I mean, isn't that fun? We don't really see that in the United States too much, but in other foreign countries they do. If you're in a Muslim country and you convert to Christianity, you're dead to the family and you better get out of there fast because they're likely to kill you. I mean, if they're a hardcore Muslim, you're dead. You have literally died in Christ and had to become a new creature. New creation. New everything. It's a serious decision. Verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. False prophets will arise and deceive many. False prophets will arise and deceive many. False teachers will come and deceive many. False ministers will arise and deceive many. Well, God said, therefore, you need to give me $1,000 because God told me to tell you to give me $1,000, every single one of you. No. It's not how God works. Don't be deceived. And some of them, you know, this is like, we're called to test words of prophecy. We're supposed to test them when they come. It says that when two or three prophesy, that the other should judge. And it also says that we're supposed to test it. Does it come to pass? Does it fulfill the word of God? Does the Holy Spirit agree within us? We need to be listening. You can't rely on one witness. The prophet prophesying is one witness. Does the word and the spirit agree? The word and spirit don't agree. Well, you just throw that right out. You just toss it out. Well, I don't want to miss something. Stick to the word. You got the Holy Spirit in you, leading you and guiding you. You don't need that any should teach you. All ministers should come alongside and encourage you. You know, not to say that you couldn't get rebuked, not to say that God wouldn't use a prophet to tell you to do certain things. But you trust the Word. You trust the Holy Spirit. And if God hasn't spoken in your heart, you don't trust the miracles. Why? Because many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I don't know about you, but I kind of noticed a lot of lawlessness going on. Haven't you? A lot of things happening out there. You know? And you can kind of get to the point where you're like, whatever. Whatever. They get what they deserve. Kill them all, let God sort them out, right? That's a common Marine saying. But it's lawlessness. You know, if you live in a place where it's lawless, it's like nobody tries to, or nobody can, feels like they can, obey the law. Everybody does what they is own in their own right, in their own sight. Right? And it says the love of many will grow cold. That's what we need to guard ourselves from, is our love growing cold. Because it can be easy when you're constantly bombarded day in and day out with everything that's out there, everything coming at you, how negative, how bad. You know what? You're all going to die. You're all going to be persecuted. They're all going to hate you. Your love can get cold. We need to stir it up. We need to remember why we're in this thing. We need to remember what God's taken us through so that we can believe for others to be brought through, that they can come to a point of salvation, come to a point where that they can see, as I said a couple weeks ago, where was it last week? They need to see Christ in us. They need to see Christ in us. And if our love grows cold, then the love of God is no longer in us, flowing out of us. I could go on and on and on, and I don't know if we'll come back to this or not. But it also talks about lying, signs and wonders. That there will be signs and wonders that will happen. That's why you can't trust the miraculous. Just because it's miraculous doesn't mean it's God. You know, in the Old Testament, if you read about the Old Testament prophets and what the law says about prophets in the Old Testament, it says that there are those that come along that may speak presumptuously. And what they said doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid of them. Because the mark of a true prophet is that what they say comes to pass. If I make a proclamation in the name of Jesus and it doesn't come to pass, then I'm not a prophet. If it does come to pass, well then I begin to qualify. The other qualification they say in there is if there is a prophet who speaks among you and he seeks to draw you away, even though what he spoke came to pass, kill him. Okay, now we don't kill prophets nowadays. We don't kill ministers. But the application applies in this way, that we have no fellowship with them. If somebody claims to be a prophet and they try to lead people away from God, have nothing to do with them. Well, they might need I might be able to help bring them to Jesus. If God hasn't spoken specifically to you in your heart, possibly an audible word and an angel, get away from that person, because it's corruption and it will seep into you. If we listen to stuff, if we're listening to ministers who are corrupted and they're teaching error, then that begins to be planted inside of us and it begins to corrupt us. We need to be very careful with listening to people that we don't know, that we can't see how they live their life, because you can't judge how their life is. Another way of knowing whether somebody is of God is their character. If you can't see their character, you have to judge the fruit, character of their fruit, but also their ministry. What does it produce? Not what do they say it produces. Not what do they say it produces. What does it produce? When the church, when they go in and minister in a church and they leave, what is produced after it? Does the pastor then have to spend 6 months straightening out people because of the mess that was left? If that's the case, I submit to you, they're not of God. They're going around creating problems. Because God fosters unity within the church. God fosters unity within the church. Not division, not strife, not contention. It says where there's strife and contention, there is every evil work. Strife and contention, when you're argumentative, when you always got to pick the bone, when you're always like, well, that's not exactly right. Well, you were a little off on that, so here, let me straighten you out. You know what? You're kind of stirring up trouble. You're creating some contention. Knock it off. Walk in love. Not everybody has to be right all the time. Sometimes they meant what you thought they were trying to say. They just said it wrong. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Love them. You know? And if it's not a heaven or hell issue, back off. Back off, man. Give some love. Give some compassion. We're in this thing. The one thing that was really on my heart to say, and I haven't really said it yet, well, I've sort of said it. When we're talking about end times, when we're talking about when Jesus is going to come, and all the things that are associated with that, the funny thing about prophecy is you never really know what it means until after it happens. Jesus came, the Messiah, that had been prophesied for thousands of years through many, many different prophets and men of God, had prophesied His coming, and He came and they missed it. They said, "Tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?" He said, "Look at my works. Look what I'm doing. Can't you tell?" They couldn't. Because of their doctrine. Because of what their traditions said. Because what they expected to have happen. Let's not fall into that trap. The end will come. It'll happen. It'll take place. We don't need to worry about it. Jesus doesn't tell us to be concerned about it. Make sure that you know exactly what's happening. He says, are you going to be about your work? If you read towards the end of that. Will you be about the work? Are you going to be doing what God called you to do? Well, you know, I just believe that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. I'm just not going to worry about it. But I want you to go minister to your neighbor tomorrow. I can't, sorry, Lord. The rapture's coming. Can't do it. So what would be the point? What's the point? Jesus told you to do it. Whether, you know, you believe in a rapture or not, whether you believe anything about end times. We need to be about His business. Are we His or not? If you're going to be part of this church, we're going to be about His business. If you can't handle that, I'm sorry. Get used to it. Because God's called us to do some things, and we're going to go forward. We're going to do it. We're going to see God move. We're going to see God move. We're going to see God move. We're going to see God move in your life. We're going to see God move in your family's life. We're going to see God move in your neighbor's life. We're going to see God move in your community's life. We're going to see God move. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Thank you, Lord. This is a little silly, but this is what I heard the Lord say. As sure as 2 plus 2 equals 4. As sure as 2 plus 2 equals 4. As sure as 2 plus 2 equals 4. How sure is that? 2 plus 2 always equals 4. God is always faithful. He can always be counted on. He can always be counted on. Thank you, Lord, that we can always count on you. That you always add up. That you always add up. And you've got our best interest at mind. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for us. Lord, help us to walk in it. Help us to lay aside our preconceived ideas and notions. Help us to have the boldness to take a path that we haven't yet taken. To be willing to tread in a direction that you say to go in order to see your name glorified and to see your will accomplished. Help us to find the path, the direction that you want us to go so that we can see your name glorified. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.